This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
6:13 on his Thursday morning, August 14th, as we head into the belly of the beast of hurricane season. But it's all quiet for the next 7 to 10 days. That's all we can do, 7 to 10 days at a time, otherwise hot and humid. But again, if the tropics are quiet, I don't think any of us have anything to complain about. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. That's not something you guys worry about, is it, Andy? Hurricane season, really?
Not too much. Usually just in mid-late September, we'll get the remnants of them that come up the coast, and we get 3 inches of rain. But generally, the wind's largely gone by the time they get up this way.
So what do you worry? Because here in New Orleans, you know, we worry about, because we're under sea level, we worry about heavy rains, and we also worry about hurricane season every year after Katrina. In New Hampshire, what do you worry about weather-wise?
Tourists from Massachusetts. other than them. Ice storms. Ice storms are the bad thing around here.
Oh, my. Tourists from Massachusetts. Well, that just said a whole lot, didn't it? Let's talk about this story about record number of lawmakers aren't planning to run for re-election. What's going on here? And is it Republicans that are not running for re-election? Democrats evenly split? What?
Well, I think what you're seeing, the record number means it's the record number for this point in time in a cycle. Okay. And I think what's going on there is that the number of people that typically resign has been relatively stable over the last 20, 30, 40 years, mm-hmm. somewhere in the 10 to 15% of the Congress, so 40 to 50 people. I think what you're seeing now is people deciding to leave earlier. Giving their parties a chance to recruit people and start fundraising for them, or they see that they've got a strong challenger in a primary and they're just saying heck with it. So I think that we should not be overly concerned about the numbers that are leaving now, because it's in line with what's happened before. And you're seeing it from both Republicans and Democrats are leaving. The biggest reason people leave is you can see the general reasons. They're old. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of elderly folks in our Congress. The amount of time they have to spend raising money, which is no fun. They spend 2 to 3 days a week just sitting raising money. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest thing is they think they're going to lose. With divisions in both parties, both kind of like the Trump versus non-Trump Republicans, and then the more progressive versus more traditional Democrats, there's a lot of reason to say, you know, I have to worry about a primary and a general election, so I'm just going to get out now. So I think those are the big reasons that you're seeing this happen right now. The other reason is that people are seeking higher office. So you see a lot of people running for governor, running for senator. They're not going to announce they're leaving earlier than before, again, because it costs so much to run for those seats. So they want to spend more time focusing on those seats and fundraising for them.
I always wondered what was bigger, senator or governor?
I'd say, you know, from a practical position, the governor is a much better position to have because you're actually getting to manage something. You run something. So that attracts those people that want to see accomplishments in the sense of actually delivering on services, changing the way the state business is, attracting business to the state, et cetera. My view with the Senate is they just are the ones who like to talk more. They get a lot of adulation in Washington in the inside circles there, but they really only have a staff of, you know, maybe 20 or 30 people, and they spend their time raising money and talking rather than actually administering something. So that's why you see the a number of governors who are encouraged to run for the Senate, but they'll look at that and say, Jesus, why do I want to do that kind of crap? I can stay here in my state and actually do something rather than just talk.
But I would make an argument if looking at it from the other side of it. Well, wait, I got 6 years in office, I got the perks, I got a guaranteed paycheck. Chances are I'm going to be reelected because senators, for the most part, often do get reelected, do they not?
They do. You sound like you live close to Washington there.
No, I'm just looking. I'm just looking for a steady paycheck. That's all. That's what I'm looking for. And you know what, Andy? I am so jaded. I am so cynical about politics. I'd like to think that people get into it. And I know a guy, a state senator. I was visiting with him yesterday that I tell him I think he's one of the good ones, that he's always does the right thing and he's trying to do the right thing for the right people and for the right purposes. Sometimes as part, and I told him this too, I said, sometimes as part of the process, I know you have to kind of swallow hard and go along, but that's in order to do the greater good. I get all of that. And then my final words to him were, don't F it up.
Well, they're all under a lot of pressure by the parties and just by, you know, personal desires to move up in life to seek higher office. And once you're in those higher offices, you've got staff that you have to make sure can keep their jobs. You've got consultants that are telling you to run again. You're constantly running for money. You got the party putting pressure on you to say, you know, keep running and you'll move up a leg or two in the pecking order in the House or the Senate. So there are a lot of pressures for you to stay in office. And once you get in that grind, that's kind of what you do. There are people that actually enjoy the political combat more than they do the legislating. And I think that's the problem. Those are the ones that we see see a lot of. I think it was Morris Fiorina, an old political scientist, used to talk about workhorses versus show horses in Congress. The workhorses are the guys you're talking about. They tend to work on legislation for a long time. They become specialists in different areas. And the show horses are the ones that go on TV and talk a lot.
I've been doing this job for a long time and years ago, I was running a tease. You know, we do teases, we're coming up tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. And I got a call at my home at about 7 o'clock at night from David Vitter, who was senator at the time, saying, are you really doing this? Blah, 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 pleading his case. And I still don't know how he got my cell phone number.
They have people.
Really? I'm serious. That to this day, I can remember exactly where I was, where it's like this Senator David Vitter. Okay. And I thought it was a robocall at first, but no, it was him griping about the tees that I was running. Are you really doing this and this, that, and the other thing? It's like, I didn't ask, but I should have asked. How'd you get this number? I'm just curious. All right, Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll pick it up here. We come back about President Trump. And I see some senators that might be thinking about running for governor and how that could affect him. Tommy Tuberville, Marsha Blackburn. And, well, as a Democrat as well, Michael Bennett. 620 Traffic Now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Thursday morning, August 14th. Talking with our friend Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, about senators, primarily, I guess, the representatives that are not running. We have a story running, Dave Cohn will tell you more about, locally, about Democrats not really having much of a bench or many people to put up for office. Nationally, is that the case, Andy? Is one party stronger than the other when it comes to candidates?
Well, I think in 2026, it's going to be a better year for Democrats because historically, the president's party loses seats in midterm elections. So usually the overall dynamics means that some of those people that were considering running have been waiting for one of these midterm elections. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to vary on a state-by-state basis, certainly, because strong Republican states are, it's going to be difficult for the Democrats to recruit a strong candidate, and vice versa in strong Democratic states. But it's usually that overall cycle of midterm elections favoring the party that's not in the White House that I think is driving a lot of the lack of depth on the Republican bench. And another reason why you've seen a lot of Republicans deciding that this is the time to spend more time with their family.
So when it comes to, what do most of these people do when they leave? Become lobbyists? I know that's what David Vitter did. I think he's working for lobbying for Russia. I thought he was doing that the last time I checked.
A lot of them go into that. Certainly several people try to go to higher office. But if the ones who are resigning, if they're very old, like our senator here, Jean Shaheen, she's probably just going to retire. But you get a lot of people, though, if they've been in the Senate, particularly, who go into lobbying, because once you've been in the Senate for even a day, Senate rules allow you to go onto the floor of the Senate. And that means you can put your arm around somebody and say, hey, listen, old buddy, why don't you vote this way on this bill? And that's something that lobbying groups and lobbying law firms down in D.C. really desire, those people who can get right onto the floor of the Senate and speak directly to senators.
What about the people I mentioned before, Tuberville and Blackburn? Would that have any effect on President Trump's agenda, or is he going to be actively involved? How long are his coattails, fingers, however you want to say it, when it comes to the elections?
I don't think that's going to matter too much, because both Alabama and Tennessee are pretty solidly Republican states. It's likely that Republicans will be replacing them in those seats. So I don't think that's going to make much difference in the overall look. I think that some of the places that I'd be paying more attention to would be the places where the senator is out of step with the state. And I just look across the border in Maine here, Susan Collins is out of step with both the MAGA wing of the Republican Party in Maine, but she's the state of Maine is becoming more and more Democratic over time as well. So she's the kind of person that I think is most likely to resign and make it hard for the Republicans to pick up that seat. I don't think if Susan Collins doesn't run, I think that we pretty much mark that seat down as a Democratic seat next fall.
And as it is, it's almost like independent now, right? I mean, she's a Republican, but for the most part, doesn't toe the party line, accurate or not?
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe. And that's what, our representatives are supposed to do. They're supposed to represent what they're...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
state looks like, rather than what the president or the party down in D.C. want them to do. And their reelection is determined on their ability to convince their state, the voters in their state, that they're doing what the state wants rather than what the people in Washington want. But as I mentioned, though, those divisions within the party are making that difficult. If anybody seems to stray from the party orthodoxy, either Republican or Democratic Party, then there's the threat of them being challenged in a primary, which nobody really wants to do. Parties don't even want to do it, but that's the way they kind of keep them under rein to vote the way the party wants them to vote.
Thank you, Andy.
And I don't know what we can do about that.
Appreciate it. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Let me clean this up quickly. David Vitter is a partner of Mercury in Washington, D.C., and leads the development of Mercury's Gulf South operations. He helps clients with strategic government relations. He's a partner of Mercury. I just said that, didn't I? And I thought at one point he was lobbying for the Russians. I don't want to slander anybody or anything like that, but that's currently what David Vitter's doing. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. Well, top of the morning to ya. And might I say top of the morning and welcome back to Michael Strain, Mrs. Strain's son, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How are you doing today, Michael?
Man, I am doing excellent. I've actually get to drink some coffee. You know, we had a lot of tea across the pond.
Oh, yeah.
You know, early mornings, lots of tea and a little bit of Blarney, but I tell you, it was a very, very, very good trade mission. It's the second time I've been in a number of months. We were there for about 6 days, and we went across the United Kingdom, you know, from Dublin to Belfast to Patrick down to Cork and across Armagh Kildane. Into Dublin and then into London, and so
into
Dublin, Ireland. That's exactly right. And on my way, actually, to Belfast from Dublin, the driver showed me where the Strain family still is. Right there in County Down. He said, "You go right down that road. There's a whole bunch of you."
Really?
Right down the road,
and
yes,
that's
indeed.
Where you people. That's where your people hail from, Mike. Ireland, the old sod.
Yep. Well, after we left Scotland, we were part of they called it the plantation, mm-hmm. after the flight of the Lords, when they left, and we were moved from Scotland into Ireland, into that one particular area, you know, there in County Down by Lurgan.
What year was that you're talking
that's
about?
Where most of the family, and from there, you know, left and came across the pond in the 1700s.
Wow.
To establish here in America. So that it was very good.
Wow.
Very good.
My family got here in 58. I'm just kidding. You know what gets me about what got me about Ireland is the breakfast. I don't know if you had any of the traditional Irish breakfast, but they serve pork.
It's pretty huge.
They serve pork and beans for breakfast, which is odd.
That started during the war.
Didn't it?
And that'd be World War II. Pork and beans is still a big deal there. They're very traditional. You know, meals are very, very traditional. So we're trying to introduce them and talk to them about crawfish etouffee. You know, with Louisiana crawfish and, of course, Louisiana rice, one of the things. And, I traveled this time. This is on, you know, behalf of the Foreign Ag Service. There were six commissioners. And we travel with the embassy staff, Jennifer Gruber and William Cernum from the British Embassy. And also from Grian Rowan with the Embassy of Ireland. And we, you know, it's all meetings of high-level officials. We had a very good and meeting with the United States ambassador there at the embassy in London. We met with their top agricultural officials. We met with the head, Dr. Middlemiss, the UK chief veterinary officer. They have a facility there where they are developing vaccines in concert with a company called Boehringer Ingelheim, which is one of the largest vaccine companies in the world, on the emerging diseases. And they're actually putting those vaccines out into the world, and we're talking about African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, blue tongue, avian influenza. So we were there at that facility. We met with the chief plant officers and of course, all of their different, in each individual country, we met with the people responsible for importing and exporting food. So it was a trade mission based on facilitating and increasing trade, working together. The British Kingdom, the United Kingdom now is importing 42% of their food.
Wow.
That is a big deal. their agriculture, and their economy is struggling more than ours is. And it's a very complicated thing. So Northern Ireland gets all of their food, all of their groceries are shipped over from Britain. The Northern Ireland and Britain use the same currency, the pound. Ireland uses the euro, and it's aligned, again, and it's aligned with Europe, even though it's just a line in the sand that between the two countries. And it is a complicated food system, but they are working hard. The farms are small. You don't see a lot of big equipment like we have here in the United States, but they are really struggling now to continue to feed themselves. They export, believe it or not, the dairy is the most profitable. We're here in the United States, it's one of our least profitable. But what we did find out is every acre of land and agricultural production is supplemented financially by the government, and that you have to farm it according to what the government tells you. And the better you do, the more points you get, the more points you get, the more money you get. And so now you have non-farmers dictating farming policy, and it just doesn't work out so well.
No, it doesn't seem like it would.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So we're over there for exchange of ideas, but also to build the relationships so we can sell them some products. They need rice. They really need to buy some U.S. catfish, and it is catfish month, but also our seafood, you know, our shrimp, our crawfish, our, you know, and all of our different products, our sugar. So we're working to facilitate that. I've been asked to return by the British government for a trade mission on timber. You know, as we have 18.6 million acres. So the big timber states, Louisiana, Arkansas, Connecticut, that export timber, we'll be headed to Scotland working with Drax on behalf of the, you know, asked by the British government, and to help facilitate and grow that, because, you know, we need to export our balance of trade. We need to export. And these countries depend on American food products. And by God, we're ready. We will sell them something. You know, we'll take their pounds and their euros. And but again, there's a great need that is developing because in their agriculture system, they need a lot of help over there.
Mike, one thing that I did notice is the sheep, they were either sprayed, they had a little dot of blue or pink on them to determine whether they're boys or girls. And I'm just wondering, is that a uniquely Irish thing, or do the sheep farmers here do that?
Yeah, we mark them here.
Do you? Okay.
So they're, you know, yeah, well, they mark the sheep, you know, whether or not they have been, you know, dewormed, or whether or not they've been vaccinated, or whether or not they're going to keep them or they're going to go. And so you see a lot of sheep there. They grow grass there very well. Mm-hmm. Most days, especially in Northern Ireland, along the North Sea, the lows were 40 and the high was 50.
Lucky you.
And it's always raining. So they got magnificent, beautiful grass. Everything is grass-based. Their beef is very different. They eat a lot of sheep because, look, sheep eat grass each, and they can go up on the side of those. They call them hills.
Yeah.
My God, they're mountains. And they crawl up there and they eat that grass. So they eat a lot of mutton, and that is a big deal. Wool is a big deal. Mutton's a big deal. You know, we went to farms that have been in existence since at least 400 A.D. And
what?
So you think about that. Oh, yeah. And the fences are stone, right?
Right. So and the hedgerows, right?
And the hedgerows. Yeah. And they've got, they call them fairy forts, and that's where they were wooden fortresses that predate stone forts, because you think of, like, especially in Ireland, it was like the Wild West. You had to be inside the fort at night. If not, you know, they would come and steal everything that you had, and had the forts eyesight to eyesight. So you never think about, you know, the days there that were, again, like the Wild West, where you had to be locked up in the fort at night, but that was the case, and they've left them there. So it's an ancient country with a lot of history, but again, supported the most fertile land in the United Kingdom is in Ireland, and you'll find that around the old castles and the old monasteries.
It's a beautiful country. I would advise everybody to visit. Mike, real quick before we run out of time, tell me about sharing a road with farm vehicles, because I'm getting some text about this.
We are in the height of harvest. We're harvested. You know, we got rice being harvested, corn being harvested. We've got cane being planted. Please give them some space. You know, you've got these trucks on the road, and, you know, and they're loaded. And, of course, you know, those farmers, they've got to get the crops, you know, in the ground, got to get the seed to the ground. So please give them some time. And whatever you do, please don't try to outrun the train. Every year people are trying to outrun the train on the tracks and those rural crossings. So a little bit of patience, a little bit of time, and we'll get the crops in the ground and get the everything harvested and be safe. And remember, that great big old tractor, that's a big machine. Please give them a little space. All be courteous and working together.
Mike, what happened with Elmer Chocolate?
Yes, isn't that something? I'm right. They got sold to a Florida firm. But, of course, well, you know, hopefully they're going to stay, and Elmer's is not going to leave. They have a magnificent facility. I don't know if you've ever been, but it is as clean as, you know, as if you would think of just the cleanest you can be.
Right, but let me jump in. Facility. Let me jump in real quick, Mike.
Elmer's has got to be Louisiana.
With the private equity companies, right. They're buying up a lot of local companies, right?
Yes, they are. That's Wall Street buying. They're buying a lot of land too, and a lot of farms.
And they're still trying to run it under the family name, but it's not the family name. It's the private equity firm that's running the company. Accurate?
I know. Well, you know, come Easter time, I'm going to have to do a lot of sampling. Right? I have my heavenly hash.
Somebody's got to do it, Mike. Somebody's got to do it. Thank you. Welcome back. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Y'all, I'm telling you, if you go visit one European country, go to Ireland. You will not be disappointed. 655. Pardon me. Traffic. WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.